Hello, this is Terry Burdick, greeting to you from the weekend edition of the Commercial News for Saturday and Sunday, January 24th and 25th of 2026. We'll start today on our front page with the headline, "The Momentum is Growing, Bailey Visits Danville." And this comes to us from Commercial News reporter Marvin Holman. While his campaign in the 2022 election did not connect, Illinois GOP gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey says this year is the right time for his new message. "We're seeing the same movement, encouragement, and enthusiasm that we had in 2022, but the big question is what's different this time," Bailey said. "Life is a little more difficult in Illinois. We have higher property taxes and higher utility bills, continued safety fears, and education continues to plummet, all because of J.B. Pritzker. The momentum is growing, and our message is different this time, focusing in affordability, safety, and education. The people seem to be uniting more than they did 4 years ago, seeing hope that somebody has been fighting for Southern Illinois and someone fighting for Northern Illinois, Bailey's running candidate Aaron Del Mar, can come together. I think we have a team that are going to raise a lot of eyebrows in Chicago." Bailey was in Danville for a meet and greet at the David S. Palmer Arena on Friday, close to wrapping up a day of meetings with people in Kearney and Olney before going through Danville and later Champaign. The host for the meet was Jacob Daisy. The owner of Daisy's Hair Lab hopes that it is only the start of this election cycle. "I'm bringing all the information because I want people to vote," Daisy said. "We are in a curious time in our country, and we just want everyone to have all the information that we can in Danville and Vermilion County. We're looking to bring in the other Republicans, and with Pritzker, he's the only Democrat in the primary, and he will be kicking off his race after that. I want to invite him here as well, because we all want the facts and all the information from each candidate in the race." Bailey said that the combination of his work in the southern part of Illinois and Del Mar's work in the northern side could give him the edge for the Republican primary, which includes fellow competitors Ted Dabrowski, Rick Heidner, and James Mendrick. "I served 17 years in a school board. I started a Christian school, and then I put my money where my mouth was," Bailey said. "I ran as a state rep when I saw a problem, and then I moved to the Senate, and I sued J.B. Pritzker and won the lawsuit. It is the same thing for Aaron, who started as a precinct committee person, and he's been chair of the Palatine Township Republicans, and they are the only township in Cook County with a supermajority. We've worked from the bottom up, while they're working from the top down, and we have seen how this hasn't worked very well for Illinois." One of Bailey's biggest visions, if he wins the general election, is putting in an Illinois DOGE program to find all the money to find the waste. "It is a concept, and it is to weed out fraud and waste," Bailey said. "I not only believe it is there, I know it's there. Because when the governor can find $23.5 billion from our budget and give that to people in Cook County who are there illegally, free insurance and housing and education, that is wrong. Just within hours of us opening up our searchable database, someone found $180 million of Illinois taxpayer funds that have been funneled as grants to Pritzker's holding companies. There's a whole lot of stuff there, and we're just getting started. The budget in Illinois in 2017 was $32 billion and is now $56 billion, and there's no relief or answers to the problems in Illinois. So we have confidence there's waste in there. When I was a state senator in 2021, some House reps called for a forensic audit on the budget, and we were told that it could take as much as 10 years and cost $6 to $10 million to break down 5,000 pages of budget and tell Illinois taxpayers where their money's going. That's what DOGE would be here, and we're going to work on that and build the confidence of people in Illinois back into the leaders and get involved." Bailey wants to battle the 80-20 concept in elections by focusing on what people are worried about in living in the state. "This 80-20 concept was to compromise with my values and with the pocketbooks," Bailey said. "I realize this 80-20 thing is to find what 80% of Illinoisans have in common, and 80% of Illinoisans are finding it hard to pay their bills, pay their rent, and stay here. 80% are frustrated that somebody in Illinois can walk up to you, squirt lighter fluid on you, and set you on fire, and then that person can walk off like in Chicago. And 80% of Illinoisans are angry by the state's admission that 70% of children can't read, write, or do math at grade level." Daisy said that another number worries him, the low voter turnout in the area. "It's very low, but hopefully if you can show people that they're willing to come and stop in Danville and Vermilion County, it shows they care," Daisy said. "I'm trying to show that they do care and that vote does matter. So if I can provide the information, they will show up in the polls. The highest position in the state is governor, and Darren and Aaron are running, and it should open people's eyes that we have to get all the facts. Bailey said that he would like to come back to town and invites people to look at his plans for the state. We want to be back. We have a lot in common with voters downstate, Bailey said. But after the primary, we will also be going to Cook County. We go where we're invited. One of our coordinators said, let's have a meet and greet here, and here we are. Go to BaileyForIllinois.com to invite us, and an IllinoisBlueprint.com to see the whole game plan. Well, on our front page as well, there's important news from the United States Postal Service with the headline, U.S. Postmark Changes to Vote by Mail, by Krisky Jankowski. Important changes are announced for voting by mail. According to a media release from Robin Heffron, Vermilion County Clerk, a recent change to the United States Postal Service will impact the timing of vote-by-mail ballots. The postmark system changed in late 2025, Heffernan said. USPS updated its postmark system so that machine postmarks reflect the date mail is processed at a postal facility, not when it's placed in a mailbox, Heffernan wrote in the release. Due to postal network consolidation, mail may experience processing delays which could result in ballots receiving a postmark later than expected, Heffernan reaffirmed the use of voting by mail, stating it remains a safe, secure, and reliable way to vote. She continued, ballots are subject to strict security measures, including signature verification and secure handling. The USPS change does not impact ballot security, only the importance of returning ballots on time. Illinois law requires vote-by-mail ballots to be postmarked by Election Day. Primary election day for 2026 will take place on March 17th, with early voting beginning on February 4th, depending on location. You can find a list of where and when at vercounty.org/election/commission early voting. Heffernan's office recommends doing the following to ensure your vote is counted. Mail ballots well in advance. Visit a USPS post office counter and request a manual postmark. Return ballots in person to the Vermilion County Clerk's Office. When dropping off a ballot at the Vermilion County Clerk's Office, call 217-554-1900 to request retrieval from your vehicle. You can find a copy of ballots for those who cannot vote in person due to a disability and more information on voting at vercounty.org. Well, I know as I'm reading this, we all are surrounded by cold and snow. So our last article on the front page today is certainly one of interest to all, with the headline, How to Stay Safe During the Winter Storm, by Krisky Jankowski. The winter storm warning began with schools closing on Friday throughout central Illinois. Millions braced for deadly wind chills, potential power outages, heavy snow, and ice. The warning runs until midnight on Sunday. As temperatures plummet to negative 34 degrees in some areas and the snow piles on, keeping warm safely is paramount as hypothermia and frostbite risks increase. The forecast is calling for cold Arctic air to hit much of the U.S. from the Midwest to the Northeast, and these frigid conditions could keep their grip on the weather into next month, said Jace Eustace, communications manager for the American Red Cross. If you don't have a warm place to go, there are warming centers. There are several in Vermilion County, including the Danville Public Library, the Dwelling Place, Danville Rescue Mission, and the Hoopston City Hall, that will be open all weekend as well for anyone in need. In Indiana, find a warming center by dialing 211 or 1-866-211-9966 Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can also text your zip code to 898-211 for a list of nearby locations. A full state list can be found at in211.org, and to add one to the list, email them at 211database at fssa.in.gov. The National Fire Protection Association says space heaters are the most common cause of house fires in the cold months. The American Red Cross advises if you must use one to do the following. First, never leave a space heater unattended or on when you're asleep, and make sure there is nothing flammable next to it. Second, do not plug it into an extension cord. Always plug it into an outlet. Further, for safety with your space heater, children and pets must stay away at least 3 feet to prevent burns from any heating equipment, including space heaters. Carbon monoxide poisoning risks increase with any fuel burning, like a fireplace, furnace, lanterns, and more. The CDC says that more than 400 people in the U.S. die from the deadly gas, with more than 100,000 visits to the ER for treatment and more than 14,000 people hospitalized as a result. And during this storm, some people may use a generator during a power outage. The CDC says to never operate one inside your home, garage, and use it at least more than 20 feet away from your structure. They also recommend to make sure your carbon dioxide detector is working. The American Red Cross also advises against using a cooking range or oven to heat your home, not leaving a fire burning unattended in a fireplace, and ensuring that fireplace and chimneys are inspected before use. The Vermilion County Emergency Management Department advises against travel. If travel is necessary, it is recommended to keep an extra flashlight, food, and water in your car. The City of Danville Public Works is preparing for the storm and advises anyone driving to be alert for hazardous conditions from Saturday through Tuesday. Plows will be active throughout the storm, Tara Barrett, Public Works Office and Training Manager, said. According to current weather forecasts, snow accumulation is expected between noon Saturday and 8 p.m. Sunday. During this period, crews will prioritize main arterial roads to ensure access for emergency services. As a result, plow trucks normally assigned to residential routes may be reassigned, which could cause delay in residential plowing, she said. Following the heavy snowfall, plows will continue to clear the streets, but Public Works cautions due to expected low temperatures, salt may be less effective, and some roads may remain snow-covered into the work week. If you are driving in Illinois, the latest conditions are found at gettingaroundillinois.com. This website also lists construction sites. While road rock may be stalled, there are still areas of construction. We are preparing for extreme weather conditions statewide and urge all Illinoisans to take precautions throughout the weekend to stay safe and warm, said Governor J.B. Pritzker. As we brace for freezing temperatures across the state and heavy snow in southern Illinois, I've directed IEMAOHS to deploy resources to ensure local authorities have the support they need to keep roads clear and residents safe. I encourage everyone to avoid any unnecessary travel, follow safety recommendations, and visit ready.illinois.gov for winter storm updates. Well, I hope you all are staying safe and warm so far during this this Arctic blast. We have some local students to celebrate with. First, our cheer champions, the Oakwood High School cheerleading team, won the Vermilion County Championship Trophy last Saturday. That is, they've won that title for the last 3 years. And we also want to congratulate and celebrate with the Christie Clinic Athletes of the Week. For the boys, it's Aiden Rangel. North Vermilion senior wrestler Aiden Rangel won his fourth straight Wabash River Conference title by winning the 138-pound title last weekend. And for the ladies, Uriah Shaw. Danville freshman wrestler Uriah Shaw won her 125-pound title at the Mary Kelly Invitational on Saturday and the Rantoul Girls Invitational on Monday. So congratulations to all those students and groups. For those of you looking for something warm to do, let's take a look at what's going on in our community briefs. Museum hosts new exhibit. The Vermilion County Museum Society, located at 116 North Gilbert Street in Danville, is hosting a new exhibit, Journey to Freedom, Illinois Underground Railroad from now through March 28th. The exhibit shares stories of freedom speakers, conductors, and communities that were part of the Illinois Underground Railroad. This exhibit is sponsored by the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, also known as Looking for Lincoln. The grand opening of the exhibit was held at the museum on Thursday, January 15th, and the event is free. There's extra parking in the car lot adjacent to the community, and if you would like to join them, the regular hours at the museum are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For those of you thinking ahead to spring, yard waste stickers are available on Monday. The City of Danville Public Works Yard Waste Division is pleased to announce that 2026 yard waste stickers are available for purchase beginning Monday. The stickers are priced at $40 each and may be purchased in person or by phone, debit or credit card accepted. There's a processing fee that may apply at either the City of Danville Public Works and the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building. Please note that only city-approved containers displaying a valid 2026 yard waste sticker will be collected during designated toter-only collection periods. A collection schedule and brochure outlining the program guidelines will be provided with each sticker purchase. Yard waste collection for the 2026 season will begin in late March. For additional information, including detailed collection schedules and program requirements, please visit the City of Danville website at cityofdanville.org. There's also some upcoming events at the Danville Public Library. The Danville Public Library has the following events coming up. It's called Celebrate 70 Years of DLO Musical Theater. We're creating a Biblio Board community e-collection of stories, photos, and memorabilia honoring this beloved local institution. Share your onstage, behind-the-scenes, or audience memories and help preserve the magic of DLO for generations to come. You can share these at danville.libraries.share.com. On January 27th, there's a Teen Crafter Noons Tuesdays. You do need to sign up, hang out, and make cool stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. No sign up, no stress. Just walk up and create something awesome. This week is Inkspirations. De-stress with mindful doodles and designs while supplies last, and that's going to be on the second floor, 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. on Tuesdays. They also, Tuesdays are Tweenits. Fun programs for tweens are going to be held each Tuesday during the month. This week is Nailed It, inspired by the Netflix TV series. Tweens will be presented with a craft and supplies, but no instructions. And this will be at 5 p.m. in the program room. That sounds great for ages 8 to 12. And if your children are ages 13 to 19 or your grandchildren, also on the 27th, it's Teen Universal Yums. Ready to snack your way around the world? Each month, the teams can explore a different country through its unique treats, fun trivia, and music from that culture. It's a flavorful, interactive experience, and you won't want to miss it. This month's country is France, and so that happens from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. on the second floor with ages 13 through 19. We've reached the halftime of our time together today. Let's take a look at our obituaries and death notices that were received by the Danville paper as of Friday by at 5 p.m. We have an obituary for Anita Harris. Anita L. Witkanak Harris, 87, of Attica, passed away on Wednesday, January 31st. Friends may call at the Moss Funeral Home in Attica on Tuesday, January 27th, from 11 a.m. until a service time at 1 p.m. with Pastors Jerry Bagley and Joshua Barnett officiating. Anita's burial will follow at the Riverside Cemetery in Attica, and memorial contributions may be made to the St. Jude Children's Hospital or Paws and Claws Animal Shelter. There's also a death notice, Stephen A. Young, age 84, who passed away January 19th at the Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Per his wishes, there will not be a funeral service. And that concludes the reading of our death notices for this week. There's much going on in our community. Let's take a look at this headline. The Merche Manor is getting a $2.2 million facelift. And this comes to us from Christy Jankowski. An apartment building owned by the Vermilion Housing Authority in Danville is getting a $2.2 million facelift. Jacqueline Vincent, executive director with the VHA, which is the Vermilion Housing Authority, said Merche Manor is currently under construction to prevent future safety issues. The facade was found to have some installation issues with the brick facade, she said. The design engineer recommended removing the bricks and replacing it with what's called an EIFS, an EIFS, more like a blown-on stucco material. It's lighter weight, cheaper, it's got a longer expected useful life, and so that's what we're going to be doing for this project. Basically, the bricks are being removed and replaced with a stucco-like material. Currently, there are 93 apartments in the building and all are occupied. They, Berglund Construction workers, understand that they're working around people's homes, Vincent said, kind of balancing that they have to work the work they have to do, but trying to do it in the least disruptive manner possible. The construction is needed to keep the residents safe, Vincent said. We're addressing any exterior building issue that has been identified by the engineer that has to be replaced to keep the people around the building safe, Vincent said. If we did nothing, water could penetrate the envelope. And then, you know, obviously once water gets into a building, you start having bigger issues. Now we haven't had that happen yet, and we're trying to keep that from happening. Vincent said the funding for the project comes from the capital fund, which they use for projects every year. The VHA provides housing for those who qualify under the Housing Authority development requirements. We're always accepting applications for our low-income public housing program, and that is for people who are in need of housing assistance with quality, affordable housing assistance, Vincent said. I think one thing that needs to be understood is that we do not provide emergency housing. So a lot of times when we're contacted by people who need to be housed tomorrow immediately. And unfortunately, that's not something we're able to provide because we have to follow HUD's guidelines on determining eligibility and managing a waiting list. Vincent said there's a waiting list for every size of apartment from studio to multiple bedrooms. The work is estimated to be completed this summer. In more community interest news, the city of Danville takes over CRIS RMT services. And again, from Christy Jankowski, the saga of providing transportation to the county's most vulnerable continues with the city of Danville taking over paratransit transportation. Following the shuttering of CRIS Rural Mass Transit on January 2nd, many local agencies and leaders sprang into action to continue the services. Steve White, director of the Danville Mass Transit, began immediately shifting his workload to help dialysis patients and more. We take it all, or likely not only do we not get any, but then the rest of Vermilion County would have to figure out how to provide transportation for their citizens, Mayor Ricky Williams said about the city taking over the transportation, which unfortunately I don't believe there's any capacity to do. The city will try to involve the county to no avail, according to Williams. David Schaefer, IDOT director, addressed the board and answered questions from aldermen about the city taking over CRIS RMT services. The only thing I can say is for every dollar that you invest, it's typically a $4 return, Schaefer said, adding the county was contacted in November with no response. We have not engaged the county again, just been rapidly moving our entire focus to try and get resources to these vulnerable citizens that need the transportation as quickly as possible, Schaefer said. The city of Danville has a great transportation organization. The mayor added that the funding will increase from the city to this, from the state to the city. Currently, the state provides 65% funding, Williams said. It would move that up to 80% funding as well, and then we would also receive additional federal funds. Because one thing that I made clear to him is that, look, we want to help everyone, especially our neighbors. These are our brothers and sisters, our cousins in the county, right? But at the same time, the city of Danville taxpayers cannot subsidize providing those services for them, and that's why they've increased the funding sources for us, so then we can make sure that we're able to provide that without it being on the back of the Danville taxpayer. Alderman Tricia Teague asked Schaefer a few questions about the future of CRIS and RMT on whether or not the organization would take it back over. My question is this a permanent change for the city of Danville, or is there the possibility that if CRIS met certain specific standards, which typically happens when there's a grant, that it could go back to them, Teague said. Schaefer responded that CRIS RMT has stated in their meetings their intent to dissolve, so this will be a permanent switch. Williams added that the state has given them funding through the rest of this fiscal year, and then the state will send a new contract at the start of the next fiscal year in July. The board approved multiple resolutions for service agreements with Crosspoint Human Services and WorkSource Enterprises to take over the paratransit transportation, with IDOT providing 80% of the funding. Let's take a look. I'm not sure what the outcome of this game was, but it sounds like it was exciting. Championship rematch. BHRA and Westville to meet again, and this comes to us from Marvin Holman. Last year, the Bismarck Henning, Rossville Alvin, and Westville boys basketball teams battled for the Vermilion County tournament title. Today, they'll do it again. The number one seed Tigers and number two seed Blue Devils both won their games in the Vermilion County Boys Tournament on Thursday, setting up the rematch. The Tigers were able to defeat Oakwood 81-46 in the second game of the night, and just like on Tuesday, Westville celebrated a career milestone. Senior guard Easton Barney was able to get his 1,000th point in the fourth quarter, joining Aiden White, who has accomplished the feat on Tuesday. I didn't know how many points I had until the end of the third, Easton Barney said. They said I had 23 and I needed 6 more. I thought I could definitely do this today, and I went out and scored as much as I could to get it. It was really cool. There were a bunch of people here to support me, and it was a really cool environment. I'm beyond proud of all the guys on the team. If you have 3 guys who are knocking on 1,000 points, it's a big deal, Westville coach and Easton's father, Ed Barney, said. Easton had a good game tonight. He went to hole and finished, and he was great at the free throw line. It's a great dad moment, but as a coach, I'm glad we were in the championship. The Tigers scored at least 20 points in first 3 quarters, and their defense held down the Comets to only 20 points in the first half. The guys came out with intensity on defense, Ed Barney said. We jumped out, got some points early. When you start off and make a couple of runs, it makes it easier to pull ahead. The guys did a good job defensively. Aiden was under the weather, but the other guys stepped it up and had a great game, and it was good. We came out hot and worked on defense as hard as we could, Easton Barney said. We got a couple of turnovers, and we translated that to some easy layups and easy fast breaks. We knocked down some threes, and we continued that in the second half. We just worked hard and got buckets. With White not at 100%, the Tigers got great performances from other players to make up for that. Kipton Apple played strong on the boards, and all of the guys on the offensive end and defensive end, Ed Barney said. Chaz Alvarez stepped up and played good defense, and Lincoln came in and had some good minutes. Matthew Darling knocked down some threes, and if he opens up like that side to guard him, it gives us room to drive and open up Aiden and Kipton. So all the guys meshed well and did the things that make them successful. Easton Barney ended up with 31 points, while Darling had 21, and White and Apple had 10 each. Carson Dudley had 21 points to lead Oakwood, while Alex Wallace had 11, and Jathian Perez added 8. Here's some other headlines in prep news. Danville girls get win on the road. The Danville girls basketball team went on the road on Wednesday and was able to pick up a 53-30 victory over Decatur Eisenhower. Chardon Hillsman had 14 points to lead the Lady Vikings, while Adrina Burns and Anna Haupt each added 9. After playing Peoria Richwoods on Friday, the Lady Vikings will return to action on Wednesday with a game against Salt Fork. Salt Fork BHRA to play for title. The Storm was going for their fifth straight Vermilion County title on Friday against the Blue Devils. Salt Fork defeated Hoopston Area 52-25 in the second game on Wednesday. Bracey Hurd had 17 points with Sailor Packett 12 and Morgan Russell added 9. Kayla Krull had 6 points for the Corn Jerkers, while Maddie Klaber, Addie Kellenhofer, and Shay Layden each had 5 points. North Vermilion had scored 59, Covington 24. In other scores, Fountain Central 53 and Park Heritage 32. In prep wrestling, Champaign Central 77, BHR AAP 6, and Tri-West 42, North Vermilion 22. Well, it was certainly a big sports weekend. I hope you all have your sports updates more currently than I can provide. There were all kinds of basketball games, girls and boys, prep swimming, prep wrestling. We had a lot of men's college and women's college basketball over the weekend. But on Monday, we have quite a list of prep girls basketball games. Looks like they're all starting at 5:30. Schlarman Academy at Milford, Hoopston Area at Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, Chrisman at Georgetown Ridge Farm, Iroquois West at Salt Fork, Oakwood at Cisna Park, Waseca at Westville, and Armstrong Potomac at Mount Pulaski. In prep swimming, we'll have Covington at Attica at 5 p.m. on Monday. It is a big time for our sports teams. Well, as we wrap up our time together, let's take just a peek at college basketball locally. Number 11, Illini win 8th straight. They're set to face Purdue over the weekend. Andre Stojakovic had 30 points and 9 rebounds to lead number 11 Illinois to an 89-70 victory over Maryland on Wednesday night. David Mirkovic had 15 points and 9 rebounds. Keaton Wagler scored 13 points. And Jake Davis had 12 points for the Illini. I will just be your spoiler alert for today. They also beat Purdue, and it was quite the game with freshman Keaton Wagler scoring over 40 points, the most of any freshman. So Illini basketball was pretty exciting this weekend. Well, let's take a look at what our week is going to look like from a weather perspective. We all know that it's cold. We all know that it's snowing, but let's see how long it's going to stick around. Okay, first the bad news. It's going to stick around all week. But here's the good news. At least none of these numbers, our highs do not start with a minus sign in front of them. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, our highs are going to be in there's no precipitation, maybe a little bit of snow on Wednesday. Our highs range from 8 degrees to 22 degrees. The warm day will be on Tuesday at 22 degrees. But it looks like the nights aren't getting much colder. I mean, we have a cold night on Wednesday with zero. And single digits for the rest of the week for lows on the overnight. But cold will continue, not a lot of snow coming our way. We got it all over the weekend. So this has been Terry Burdick reading to you from the Commercial News, the weekend edition. I look forward to reading again with you soon. As always, gosh, be safe, be warm, and have a great week.